The Jungle Book, Part 10. Mowgli went on with his work, but it was nearly twilight before he and the wolves had drawn the great gray skin clear of the body. Now we must hide this and take the buffaloes home. Help me to herd them, Akela. The herd rounded up in the misty twilight, and when they got near the village, Mowgli saw lights. He heard the conches and bells of the temple blowing and banging. Half the village seemed to be waiting for him by the gate. "That is because I have killed Shere Khan," he said to himself. But a shower of stones whistled about his ears, and the villagers shouted, "Sorcerer! Wolf's brat! Jungle demon! Go away! Get hence quickly, or the priest will turn thee into a wolf again! Shoot, Baldito, shoot!" The tower musket went off with a bang, and the young buffalo bellowed in pain. "More sorcery!" shouted the villagers. "He can turn bullets! Baldito, that was thy buffalo!" "Now what is this?" said Mowgli, bewildered as the stones flew thicker. "They are not unlike the pack, these brothers of thine," said Akela, sitting down composedly. "It is in my head that if bullets mean anything, they would cast thee out." "Wolf, wolf's cub, go away!" shouted the priest, waving a sprig of the sacred tulsi plant. "Again, last time it was because I was a man. This time it is because I was a wolf. Let us go, Akela." A woman, it was Messua, ran across to the herd and cried, "Oh, my son, they say thou art a sorcerer who can turn himself into a beast at will. I do not believe, but go away or they will kill thee. Baldio says thou art a wizard, but I know thou hast revenged Nathu's death." "Come back, Messua," cried the crowd. "Come back or we will stone thee too." Mowgli laughed a little short, ugly laugh, for a stone had hit him in the mouth. "Run back. This is one of the foolish tales they tell under the big tree at dusk. I have at least paid for thy son's life. Farewell and run quickly, for I shall send the herd in more swiftly than their brickbats. I am no wizard, but farewell." "Now once more, Akela," he cried, "bring the herd in." The buffaloes were anxious enough to get to the village. They hardly needed Akela's yell, but they charged through the gate like a whirlwind, scattering the crowd right and left. "Keep count," shouted Mowgli scornfully. "It may be that I have stolen one of them. Keep count, or for I will do your herding no more. Fare you well, children of men. Thank Messua that I do not come in with my wolves and hunt you down in your streets." He turned his heel and walked away with a lone wolf. And as he looked up at the stars, he felt happy. "No more sleeping in traps for me, Akela. Let us get Shere Khan's skin and go away. No, we will not hurt the village, for Messua was kind to me." When the moon rose over the plain, making it look all milky, the horrified villagers saw Mowgli, with two wolves at his heels and a bundle on his head, trotting across at the steady wolf's trot that eats up the long miles like fire. And they banged the temple bells and blew the conches louder, louder than ever. And Messua cried, and Baldito embroidered a story of his adventures in the jungle, till he ended it by saying Akela stood up on his hind legs and talked like a man. The moon was just going down then. Mowgli and the other two wolves came to the hill of Council Rock, and they stopped at Mother Wolf's cave. "They have cast me out from the man-pack, Mother," shouted Mowgli. "But I come with the hide of Shere Khan to keep my word." Mother Wolf walked swiftly from the cave, with cubs behind her. Her eyes glowed as she saw the skin. "I told him on that day, when he crammed his head and shoulders into this cave, hunting for thy life, little frog. I told them that the hunter would be the hunted. It is well done." "Little brother, it is well done," said a deep voice in the thicket. "We were lonely in the jungle without thee." And Bagheera came running to Mowgli's bare feet. They clambered up the council rock together, and Mowgli spread the skin out on the flat stone, where Akela used it to sit, and pegged it down with four slivers of bamboo. Akela lay down upon it and called the old call to the council. "Look well, O wolves," exactly as he had called when Mowgli was first brought here. Ever since Akela had been disposed, the pack had been without a leader, hunting and fighting at their own pleasure. but they answered the call from habit. Some of them were lame from the traps they had fallen into. Some limped from shot wounds, and some were mangy from eating bad food, and many were missing. But they came to the Council Rock, all that were left of them, and saw Shere Khan's striped hide on the rock and the huge claws dangling at the end of the empty dangling feet. And it was then that Mowgli made up a song without any rhymes, a song that came up into his throat all by itself. And he shouted it aloud, leaping up and down on the rattling skin, and beating time with his heels till he had no more breath left. All while Gray Brother and Akela howled between the verses. "Look well, O wolves, I have kept my word," said Mowgli when he had finished. And the wolves bayed yes. And one tattered wolf howled, "Lead us again, O Akela. Lead us again, O man cub, for we be sick of this lawlessness. We would be the free people once more." "Nay," purred Bagheera, "that may not be. When ye are full fed, the madness may come upon ye again. Not for nothing are ye called the free people. Ye fought for freedom, and it is yours. Eat it, O wolves." "Man pack and wolf pack had cast me out," said Mowgli, "and now I will hunt alone in the jungle." "And we will hunt with thee," said the four cubs. So Mowgli went away and hunted with the four cubs in the jungle from that day on. But he was not always alone, because years after he became a man and married. But that is a story for grown-ups.